Okay, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm always doing something different, so it's not different that I'm doing something different, but this is something different. A brother posted what was called a short sermon at a conference that was held in 1961 in Ashland, Kentucky. And he said this was the first time he'd ever heard anybody speak out about the pagan holidays. And this brother who posted it was like, would have been in his teens then. And I don't know his church or what his... the brother who preached this, you know, wrote for like the Baptist Examiner and other churches there in Fellowship, received and wrote for the Examiner. And that publication offered for sale Alexander Hislop's The Two Babylons and so forth. So I know these folks knew these things, and probably some of them had heard them, but no doubt this is the first time he remembers hearing it. The churches that were in an association there and fellowship of Calvary Baptist from Ashland, Kentucky, Ashland Avenue Baptist from Lexington, Kentucky, Lexington Baptist College. At one time, these folks were pretty much of like faith and practice with us. Some of those churches, sadly, have, you know, like the dog returning to its vomit, have went back to the Southern Baptist Convention. They left the convention for cause at one point, and some of these, I guess, the big embrace, the acceptance, and whatever. But there was a time, at least if you listen to these Kentucky Baptists, they would tell you they're Baptists. I heard one of my professors once said, of which there is no witcher. And I think actually he happened to be from Texas and was talking about Texas Baptist. So the brother who preached this sermon has died in 2013 at age 91. I was privileged to preach with him in a couple conferences, I believe. I know at least one, I think twice. First met him and heard him preach at DeBryan Station, and then I preached with him in a conference again in Brentwood in Roanoke, Virginia. He died in 2013 at age 91. His son, Daniel Parks, recently retired from a long ministry in the U.S. Virgin Islands. He had three sons who were pastors. Brother E.W. Parks, who is the one that gave this short sermon, and I guess the conference was designed that way. I don't ever remember hearing Brother Parks preach a short sermon, but evidently this one was, and he did. Brother Parks was a World War II vet, staff sergeant with the 82nd Airborne, wounded the Battle of the Bulge. In Bastogne, awarded a Purple Heart, Bronze Star with Oak Leaf Cluster. After the service, before entering the ministry, and maybe while he was in the ministry, I'm not sure, he was a fireman. And as I said, I was privileged to preach with him in several conferences. He was up in years then, and I wasn't so much up in years as I am now. This particular conference, I had tried to nail it down. I think it must have been at Calvary Baptist Church in Ashland. And again, they were in fellowship with Ashland Avenue Baptist, who developed Lexington Baptist College, and many of the strong preachers in the faith of like faith and practice with us are graduates from that college. Ashland Avenue, as I said, has returned to its vomit and is now Southern Baptist. Lexington Baptist College is no more. Ashland Avenue published The Trail of Blood from 1931 up through sometime in the 90s. And then they went back to the convention and went to Fullerism, which is, you know, a supposedly modified form of Calvinism. Fuller claimed to have rescued the Baptists from a dunghill because they were falling into, I guess, being too small and not reaching enough through standing by the old faith and Calvinism and the doctrines of grace. Fuller came along as essentially a four-point Calvinist, I guess. Anyway, Ashland Avenue returned to the SCB, Southern Baptist Convention, in 1997. Stopped publishing The Trail of Blood. Fortunately, Brian Station picked it up, and it's still out there. when I was in cemetery, I thought no one believed those things anymore, and they didn't publish The Trail of Blood anymore. I found a copy in the library, and back then it cost quite a bit to make copies. I copied the whole thing. And then I found out at that time Ashland Avenue was still publishing The Trail of Blood. The church that this conference was at, I believe, was Calvary Baptist in Ashland, Kentucky, which was organized in 1955 with 24 members. Its last meeting was held in 2019, and such is the world, again, we live in, at a hospice where its pastor was a resident. The three remaining members were there, which included the pastor and his sister and one other. 2 days later, Pastor Rule passed. But the Lord still got a remnant. You know, it's sad. You see these churches that once stood for something, they don't. That once preached some things, and they don't. That's just kind of some extra background. Brother E.W. Parks was preaching at this conference, which I believe was at Calvary Baptist in 61. And the title of his short sermon was, Should Baptists Observe Rome's Pagan Holidays? Oh, you've heard this stuff from this pulpit many times, and this is shorter and briefer and more of an outline, but I think it's worth hearing from Brother Parks. And I'm going to stop and interject some comments and some commentary, so maybe it won't be all that short, but Brother Parks' short sermon. He started by saying, First, I think it appropriate to thank my Heavenly Father for His sovereign grace and salvation and for the privilege of speaking on the program in this year's conference. This is truly one of the great blessings of my Christian life. Brother Parks was a Sovereign Grace Baptist, and he was not ashamed of that. After the demise of Lexington Baptist College, after the demise of Ashland Avenue Baptist Church, I think the conference at Bryan Station essentially took the place of this one that was at Calvary. And I was privileged to speak there at least twice, maybe more, I can't remember. Because of the way some things have gone, I didn't feel comfortable preaching there anymore. But that's another matter, too. Going on back to Brother Parks, he says, I'm going to say at least a few things about what our Savior spoke against while He was here on earth, and what the Scriptures emphatically state are abomination in the sight of God in regards to the heathen worship so prevalent today. Pretty strong words. You're not liable to hear them today too many places. I've got one young preacher friend that contacted me some years ago before he was in the ministry. and is starting a new work, and it seems to be doing well. But he seems to have, if he wasn't there already, kind of tended more into the Reformed kind of camp, which is more of a Protestant kind of camp. And he still claims to hold some things, but he wrote this recently. It says, the heart's desire of any faithful pastor is for the unity of his flock. This morning I had the privilege of declaring the glorious truth of Christ's first coming into the world. Despite my own personal conflicts with the Christmas holiday, which I share at length in the sermon. Okay, you know, some folks say, well, we should have a Christmas message during this season because folks are thinking of that and you can reach them. And I think that's where this kind of philosophy's come from. I've heard that most of my life. He talks about wanting to have unity in the flock, but it's unity is when we're of like faith and practice. Union is when we're stuck together, when we believe all sort and all manner of things. I mean, he speaks of having personal conflicts. On the other hand, Brother Parks, an old preacher from back in the old days, speaks of abominations in the sight of God. There's a distinction, I think, there. This young preacher went on to say, even though there are some in our church who do not celebrate Christmas, and some who do, we rejoice that we have unity on this matter. I don't even understand what that means. Some do, some don't. We have unity on this matter. I mean, you can have union, and I don't try to dictate to folks and tell folks they must or must not, but how do you call that unity? Because we're all committed to submitting ourselves to the ultimate authority of the Bible. Again, Brother Parks spoke of abomination in the sight of God. How is that submitting to the authority of the Bible? He says, loving one another more than we love being right. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I've heard that touchy-feely kind of stuff before. I do love the brethren. I love you all. And I know I'm not always right. But we love one another more than being right. It's almost how we love one another more than following the scriptures, following what the Bible says. We love one another more than we love being right and worshiping the true and living God who sent his Son into the world to be born of a virgin and redeemed his people from their sins. I support soul liberty. I support the priesthood of the believer. And I support the ultimate authority of the Bible. And where the Bible is clearly and speaks, thus saith the Lord, we don't really have an option to do something else. How is there a unity on a particular matter when there's different and opposing beliefs and practices? I mean, sure, there's room to grow. People need to grow. We're not all at the same place. But how do you call that unity? There should be charity. There should be patience. There should be tolerance. But at the same time, I tend to think that we ought to preach the truth as did Brother Parks. And not what, to me anyway, would be a cop-out, saying love one another more than we love being right. Sounds kind of like an excuse. He goes on and says, my prayer, this young preacher, is that the members of our church would know my love for them, but more importantly, that we would all come to a holy reverence of who God is and revealed himself to be in his word. Well, God's word is never wrong. And on Brother Parks, it's proclaimed that as the Lord allowed him to see it and as the Lord had taught him, not saying, well, some of us do this and some of them don't, and we're all got unity of the, and I guess that's the way you have to build even a small work today. Back to Brother Park's short sermon. He continues. He says, in the Gospel of Luke we read, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever, therefore, putteth away his wife and marrieth another, committeth adultery. Brother Parks continues. In verse 13, our text states that no man can have two masters. I also declare unto you that no Christian can truly serve the Lord Jesus Christ and wholeheartedly, or in any form, observe the pagan holidays instituted by the Pope and observed by the Roman Catholic Church and her harlot offspring. Well, they preached back then. This is like substituting Reformation for the blood-bought way of salvation, which was purchased by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died the substitutionary death on the cross. Brother Parks doesn't really allow a middle way. I mean, a middle way between what God says and what I want to do. Christ didn't allow a middle way. He says a man cannot have two masters. To love the one and hate the other. Brother Parks continues. Now especially notice verse 15, which says, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Isn't this holiday highly esteemed? You know? So highly esteemed that some churches that claim that celebrate Christmas and claim to honor the Lord Jesus Christ actually have closed today. I've seen some that had the signs out. Now, we don't observe Christmas. We're not going to be closed on Christmas. But if we did, we would. Why would you be closed on the day that you claim to be celebrating the birth of the Savior? It sounds a little fishy to me. And no middle way. It says, you are they which justify yourselves. I don't want to be unfair again, but and I'm not beating up on him, but it kind of sounds like that young preacher and many others I've seen. It's like, well, you know, some do and some don't, and I have personal preferences. Like, I have personal preferences against murder, but maybe some folks, you know, I'm being exaggerating. I don't mean to beat up on him, but yes, we want to allow room for people to grow. I didn't always believe what I believe, and I'm certain I don't believe all that I should believe, but the Lord's going to teach us and bring us along. And folks may not all be with me, but I will proclaim what I believe that the Lord has been pleased to teach me and what he's been pleased to show me, and not dismiss it as personal conflicts. I have personal conflicts about observing a pagan holiday. I think it should be more than that. Brother Parks continues. He says, realizing that the Baptist Examiner has exposed the errors of the modernist false cults, etc., I shall confine my remarks briefly to the ungodly worship of unscriptural holidays, and especially the heathen festival called Christ Mass by the Roman Catholics, to whom it owes its existence, or by the better known name of Christmas, as called by Protestants today. Brother, I'm not a Protestant. A lot of Baptists want to be now. Used to be that folks in the Southern Baptist Convention knew they weren't Protestants, and now they claim to be the biggest Protestant denomination in the country. The Baptist Examiner that Brother Parks refers to was a periodical newspaper that was first published in 1931 by T.P. Simmons. T.P. Simmons wrote a systematic theology that's still treasured by Baptists of like faith and practice today. Yeah, I've got it on my shelf over there. He wasn't infallible. There's a couple of places I diverge with him. But this Examiner was first published by T.P. Simmons. Others included John Gilpin, Melbourne Cockrell, who put out our hymnal, and several other Baptist pastors, theologians, students. Brother Parks continues, our generation of this present age has been blinded by the lies of the devil, who has had the experience of 6,000 years in duping the people of all times. Even many of God's people who refuse to eat of the forbidden fruit of Eden in regards to the various sins of the flesh easily succumb to the false doctrines of pagan worship. I declare unto you, my brethren, if the Roman Catholic rituals such as sprinkling, purgatory, limbo, etc., should never be tolerated among the people of God, then the heathen and devil-instituted holidays should likewise be abandoned. Let the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, continue in her blasphemy, false worship, and persecution of God's true church. But let the believers in our Lord Jesus Christ refrain from such practices. Now, by the grace of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I trust to point out the evils of at least one of the Roman Catholic rituals, Christmas, and show why it should never be tolerated among the people of God. And then Brother Parks goes on, and he does just briefly touch upon several points. None of them are really new to us. They've been covered in detail in the past, and they'll be covered, if the Lord wills, in the future. He continues on. Number one, all Christmas celebration is a mockery of the Lord Jesus. This false worship originated in the Chaldean city of Babylon, centuries before the time of Christ, to celebrate the birth of Tammuz, or Bel, or Bacchus, who was the son of Damaris, Semiramis, or Sibyl, or Re, the Chaldeans' Queen of Heaven. Mary, Queen of Heaven. That's what the Catholics tell us. You don't find that in Scripture. You find the Queen of Heaven condemned in Scripture. Continuing. This false teaching has been woven shrewdly into the ritual of the Roman Catholic Church. And as I've preached in the past, it's like, today's the day. Happy birthday, baby Mithras! Brother Parks continues. Number two. The date of Christ's birth is not given in God's Word. And yet I had a friend send out something today. It says, on this day, God changed everything. The incarnation of Christ did change everything, but it wasn't on this day. Anyway, Brother Park says, the date of Christ's birth is not given in God's Word. The Jews considered our Son, our Lord, the son of a harlot, and they did not even record His birth. The birth of our Savior has been revealed to us. Especially in the beautiful narrative of Luke chapter 2. But God, in His wisdom, has withheld the date. They have no idea what month He was born in. Well, there's some clues because of the weather and because of some of the other Old Testament prophecies and circumstances. But none of them point to a December date. And we've dealt with some of those before. Many things indicate that it was not in December. And it's like, what? Oh, it's just a coincidence. It fell on the same birthday as the pagan god Mithras and all these other names that he was known by. Nimrod in the scriptures. Number three. Brother Parks continues. Number three. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to celebrate his birth. And folks are like, well, you don't believe in the birth of Christ? You don't celebrate Christmas? Well, show me where it says to do that. And when? Again, Brother Parks. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to celebrate his birth. If Christ had left instructions that his birth, if known, is to be observed, it would be ignored the same as the Lord's Day. All these folks are so busy celebrating Christmas, they don't care at all about the Lord's Day, first day of the week. They just go, guys, it's another weekend day. Hebrews 10:25 reminds us, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Note the blasphemy of the world's attitude toward the Holy Spirit's admonition. Somehow even professors of the Christian faith find all time necessary to visit relatives or the ungodly practices of amusement on the Lord's Day. But churches are so deserted on Sunday night and prayer meetings that even the church mice can frolic without being disturbed. If the Holy Spirit had left instructions to observe the birth of our Lord, the world would ignore it in like manner. Again, as Brother Park said in Luke 16:15, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. That should tell us something. We're told to remember the Lord's death, burial, resurrection, atonement. We mark that in the Lord's Supper. That's we're commanded to do that as a church. I don't want to get off on this too much. Of all things, Chuck Baldwin, who puts out some decent stuff sometime, he put out something this week in his newsletter. It's like, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper on Christmas Day, and we invite everybody at home to, you know, gather your fruit of the vine and your bread and partake with us. I'm at a loss for words. It is obviously a church ordinance. It's an ordinance for those who are under the discipline of the local church. Just open it up. Now, that's even worse than most of the open communion churches I know. It's not new. If I remember right, it was J. Vernon McGee that did that one time, too. And it was like, well, if you don't have bread, you can use potato chips. Or if you don't have fruit of the vine, you can use Coke or, you know. Lord's very specific about some things, and we ought to be very specific in the observance of them. We're told to remember those things. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. We're not given any such command for this Christ's Mass time. Mass is an abomination. Priest conjuring up the Son of God, reoffering him. We're told that it was once and for all that he's sitting at the right hand of God. Brother Parks continues, and again, it was just he just hit a brief outline, which I'm not doing so well. Number four, the observance of Christmas is sinful and wrong, even when observed by a so-called Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This does not make this heathenism scriptural or right in the sight of God. I shall never forget the morning shortly after my conversion, while a member of a Protestant church, that I witnessed the baptism, so-called, by sprinkling, of my oldest boy, then a little baby. I thought, this is God honoring, and never felt more proud in all my life. Even though God seemingly blessed me in my ignorance, shortly thereafter, I got down on my knees before God and asked Him to forgive me. And thank God, it shall never happen in my home again. You know, people do things in ignorance. They think, so well, sprinkle a little water on somebody's face is baptism. You don't find that in the Bible, but that's what they told you. That's what the church told you. So you believe them. But we're obligated when we come to know the truth, when the truth's revealed to us, to leave those false practices, ask God's forgiveness, and continue on in obedience. Leviticus 10:10 says, that ye may, this is me, not Brother Parks, that ye may put a difference between the holy and the unholy, and between the clean and the unclean. You say, well, these things are all the same. The holy and the unholy are all the same. Clean and the unclean are all the same. It really doesn't matter. Well, yeah, it does. The Lord said you're to make a difference. Our God is a dividing God. Read the creation account. See how often it speaks there of God dividing. God separating. Jeremiah 10:1 we're familiar with. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Speaketh unto you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen is dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They're upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great. Thy name is great and might. It kind of sounds like something. You know, they go out and cut down a tree, and they deck it out. And I think I've seen things like that someplace before. Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a God unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Back to Brother Park's sermon. He says, incidentally, that is one of the reasons I became a Baptist. I became concerned over baptism myself, having submitted to the same thing. Since obeying God's word, I can truly say that I have been as happy as a child of God should expect to be this side of heaven. Beloved, I have only scratched the surface regarding this great error. However, I close with the admonition that the blood-bought way of salvation cannot be improved upon. If pagan holidays have scriptural basis, then by all means they should be observed. Surely the words of our Lord, however, ought to form the basis of our turning from any teaching that does not honor God. Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim the truths of His Word. Little children, keep yourself from idols. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. Again, one of my preacher friends on the internet, I've never met him personally, said this was the first sermon he remembers hearing about the pagan holidays, but obviously it was amongst God's people before then. And Alexander Hislop's excellent book exposing these things was for sale on the Baptist Examiner that Brother Parks references. At that time, many were evidently still with the Southern Baptist Convention, even. I think in my research, I don't think Ashland Avenue actually left the convention until 1970. They were publishing The Trail of Blood. They were doing this sort of stuff. And then in the late 1990s, they returned to it. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. You know, there was a time when there were folks, even though the convention was never really a scriptural entity, and that's probably what led to the downfall and the problems with many of these churches, the churches themselves basically stood upon the truth, the doctrines of grace, church truths. Truths like Brother Parks spoke here, but that's not the case anymore. And it's not the case even amongst many, so-called independent churches either. I don't claim to have all understanding and all knowledge. I don't seek to be a dictator over people. But by the grace of God, before God, I'm going to preach what I understand to be the truth in God's Word. And hopefully preach it with power and courage, as I think Brother Parks did back in 1961. We'll take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Lead Me Gently Home, number 401. There's a pause before the main chorus begins. Lead me gently home, Father. Because I messed up before. I made to myself a note, but I didn't mean to try to throw you off. I may have done that. But anyway.
Oh, no, we've sung that many times before, and I joined in late, so I messed up quite well on my own.
No, you did good. Well, but that's you sang that the second part, but I used to try to sing the first part too early. That was what I was trying to warn against. I should have just kept it to myself.
No, I understood what you were talking about. No, it was me that I was late coming in. I understood that part, that the bass doesn't hold off, but the rest of it does. But no, I messed that up.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
That's right.
And I think we've managed to do that.
We did our best.
Okay. Father, we thank you for this day and for each one that's here. Pray for those who are regularly with us and aren't today.
Yes.
Be with them as they travel home later this week or perhaps after that. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your watch care, for your word. Lord, I pray that you keep us separate from the world. Lord, not by our own strength and power, but there might be a difference between the clean and the unclean, that we might come out from amongst the evil practices of the world, that you might make us that people you would have us to be. Pray, Lord, for those who need your healing, for those who need your comfort. Pray, Lord, that you continue to work in our lives so we might grow in our understanding and knowledge. Father, thank you for your eternal love. We thank you for your unspeakable gift, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his complete atonement that need not be repeated by some mass. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.